evening. Like to this, well, Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I'm coming to you live again this Wednesday night from my office here at my house. It's good to be with you. We're trying something new, obviously, with our coronacation that everyone is all on at the same time here. We're trying to be mindful of the believers in our church, as well as those outside of our church that are perhaps stranded or just looking for some fellowship. So we're going to be trying something new today. I'm gonna give about a roughly half hour, just short little talk from the scriptures on the issue of looking at some things in Philippians chapter 4. So we're going to do that, and then when I'm done with this around 7:30, we're going to be taking a 15-minute break, and then we're going to be having a Zoom call prayer meeting at 7:45. Never done that before. Frankly, I'm a little nervous about it. See how that goes, see what kind of participation that we get with that. My devices are all telling me that I'm live here. I'm not seeing any notifications or anything on Facebook or YouTube. So if somebody's out there and you can verify that you're getting this or that you're seeing this, I would appreciate that. A couple other just sort of general announcements for the people in our church, Grace Life Bible Church. So we're going to be having a meeting of the Transform Life group on Friday night at 7 o'clock, and we did that last week. We kind of tested that, and that seemed to go pretty well. And so we're going to be doing that again this Friday. That's at 7. We're going to be doing a Zoom call on that, and that's only for people that are a part of the church. If you're a part of our church, you're welcome to attend that. I'm going to try to get all the emails of everybody. If you're seeing this and you're not sure if I have your email, you need to send it to me before noon on Friday. So I have to set up and schedule the call. So we're going to be doing that for people from Grace Life Bible Church Friday night at 7 o'clock. So we're glad to do that. And as I already said, when this is over, those of you that said that you wanted to be involved in it, we're going to be having a Zoom call prayer meeting, and we're going to be doing that at 7:45. If you're involved in that, I've sent the invitations out. You should have gotten that in your email. I also want to make another sort of general announcement. This is to anyone who's watching, not just people from Grace Life, and that's I just received word not more than a half an hour ago from my publisher, Randy White, at Dispensational Publishing House, that my book, Don't Pass Over Easter, A New Defense of Easter in Acts 12:4, is now available for purchase. You can get that. Yes, thank you, Wayne. I am growing a beard. I had a discussion with Becky about this, and what we discussed was whether or not I should grow a Corona beard and not shave until I go back to school. That was shot down. That's not going to be happening. But anyway, as I was saying, the book is going to be released. It's actually available now for purchase at the Dispensational Publishing House website. I'll share a link to that in the comments on YouTube, and then I'll also share a link on Facebook for that. So that book is about the issue of Easter in Acts 12:4 and whether that's an error and a mistake in the King James. That has been hotly debated over the years, and I've done a lot of research and study on that. Buy that today. The book is $10.99. If you buy it today, because there is a publishing or a printing delay due to the coronavirus, you will also get a free download of an ebook immediately. If you purchase it today or tomorrow, you'll get an email with a link in it where you can download it and start reading it immediately. They're estimating anywhere between 3 to 4 weeks before the paper copies are actually printed and mailed, but if you buy it, you can get access to it. Enough of that. I want to talk a little bit this evening about Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and I want to start in verse 4. I don't have a huge expository message that I'm going to go through. I just want to read this passage. I want to highlight a couple things, comment on a couple things, and keep it kind of, you know, a little bit light than maybe what we typically do on a Sunday morning. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Then he says in verse 5, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." It's an interesting statement there in verse 5 where he says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." Typically, I think that when people hear the word moderation, for good or bad, right or wrong, they sort of immediately go to like the issue of alcohol or something like that, and drinking in moderation, that kind of a thing. I think a lot of people go there in their thought process when they hear that word. It's interesting, if you look that word up in the Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language from 1828, this is what it says. Moderation, the state of being moderate or of keeping a due mean between extremes or excesses of violence. The general's moderation after victory was more honorable than the victory itself, is the example that they give. Then they go on and say that it's related to restraint of violent passions or indulgence of appetite. And then they give the example of moderation in terms of eating and drinking and these kinds of things. And then the second definition is calmness of mind, okay? To bear adversity with moderation. And like a lot of you, I've obviously been thinking a lot about what's going on. I've talked about the situation that we're in with the coronavirus and our confinement here in Michigan to our homes on the order of the governor. And I've been thinking a lot about this issue of moderation. And Paul says here, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." We as believers who have God the Holy Spirit indwelling us and sealing us unto the day of redemption, and who have God's written word, we should be characterized by the character of moderation. That would be, again, keeping a due mean or a balance between extremes or excesses. One of the things that I've been trying to keep my mind on and renew my mind with respect to with everything that's going on is not to get too high, not to get too low, not to get too overly agitated and irritated and frustrated with things, and then also not to get trying not to get depressed and anxious and full of worry and anxiety either, and trying to have that moderation, that sort of even keel, if you will, between those two excesses and those two extremes. And it's interesting that verse here, verse 5, says that, "Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand." And then immediately after that, we could get into a big discussion about the Lord is at hand, okay? Last 2 weeks, I've touched on the issue of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. We've talked about how this dispensation is a mystery, how it was not made known in the prophetic scriptures of time past, how there is no prophetic event that needs to occur before the Lord catches away the church, right? So as we think about the idea of the Lord being at hand, he could return at any time to end this dispensation and catch us away to be with him. The character and the frame of mind that Paul says we should have with that, with the Lord being at hand, is the issue of moderation. Let your moderation be known unto all men. So as believers, we should be known to those outside of the household of God, those outside of the body of Christ, as people who are moderate, people who are not governed by excesses and so forth, right? And then immediately after that, in verse 6, he says, "Be careful for nothing." So right after talking about moderation and letting your moderation be known unto all men, Paul says, "Look, be careful for nothing." Okay, so that there's that issue of not being full of care and worry and anxiety and so forth. So how do you do that? How are you governed by moderation? How is it that we can be careful for nothing? How do we handle those situations when we start getting riled up to one extreme, or too down, or too sort of depressed or negative in our thinking on the other extreme? How do we handle that? Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It says right in the verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. If you're stressed out about possibly being laid off, if you're stressed out about, you know, the issues of feeding your family, getting enough provisions, if these things are stressing you out, if they're causing you anxiety, if the situation, you know, is sort of weighing on you in that regard, the way that we maintain our moderation, the way that we avoid the issue of being full of care, full of worry, is by praying, okay? It says, but in every occasion, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Anything in your life as a believer, anything in your life that is causing you care, worry, anxiety, fear, anger, over-agitation, any of these things, we need to be praying about these things. This is the provision that we have as members of the body of Christ. If you hold your hand in Philippians there, we could go back just quick to Ephesians. Go back quick to Ephesians. And we see issues about prayer in verse, go to Ephesians 6. Go to Ephesians 6, look at verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18. So immediately after talking about the armor of God in Ephesians 6, Paul says this in verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Okay? So we as believers are given the privilege of prayer to express and talk to our Heavenly Father about the things that are bothering us, about the things that are causing us worry and anxious feelings and these kinds of things, okay? And the issue in prayer is not so much that you're going to necessarily get everything that you pray for the way you pray for and ask for it. The issue in prayer is just you having the ability to come boldly before the throne of grace and talk to your Heavenly Father about the things that are on your mind, that are weighing on you, and giving them over to Him and saying, you know, my worry about this, my care about this, it's not doing me any good. It's just causing me to, you know, really struggle and so forth. And so I'm just going to pray about it, and I'm going to give it over to the Lord, and I'm going to, you know, trust that, that in doing that, that if you look at the next verse, he says, when we do that, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the issue isn't necessarily that the problem is going to be taken away, or there's going to be some sort of divine miraculous intervention, or God's going to wave his magic wand and zap whatever it is. The promise here is that when we pray, when we have care, when we have worry, when we have anxiety, that we pray about it, and in praying about it and turning it over to our Heavenly Father, we can experience and have the peace of God, okay? In verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. So, you know, that's an interesting statement. The peace, God has the ability to give us peace of mind and so forth in circumstances that you wouldn't really expect to have peace of mind. And that's kind of what I'm seeing here as I was reading this week is, so he starts in verse 5 and he says, let your moderation be known on all men. This is the way men should know you. They should know you by moderation, okay? Then he says, be careful for nothing. So being full of care, worry, and anxiety, that's not consistent with letting your moderation be known unto all men, right? So when we have those problems, when we have those circumstances, we pray, and then the outcome, the result of that is the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now notice that it doesn't say that God's going to take everything, it's just going to magically make everything better. He's promising to give you his peace in the midst of the anxiety, in the midst of the care, the anxiousness, the worry. There's going to be peace from God. It's going to pass all understanding. And let me just say something about prayer. I know there's a lot of thinking, a lot of teaching, even in dispensational circles about prayer that's been talked about over the years. And I will be the first to admit that I don't claim to be an expert on prayer. And where I've kind of fallen out on all this stuff related to prayer is really simple. And that's this. My apostle Paul tells me to pray without ceasing. I see passages in Paul's epistles where he himself, as the apostle of... Well, I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I lost connection here at my house. I don't think it's an internet problem. I think it's something with my devices here talking to each other. I don't know how many of you are still there. I know that we've lost our connection to Facebook for sure. So those of you that are still with me, if there's anybody still out there on YouTube, again, I apologize. I was talking about when we lost connection, I was talking about some things about prayer and about Paul as our apostle and how he instructs us to pray without ceasing. And then he practices what he preaches, not only for the churches, but also for the individuals. And the point I was trying to make when I got interrupted was, I don't understand everything there is to know about prayer. I don't claim to, but I know that what I've settled on is the fact that I just need to do it by faith, and that whatever prayer is designed to produce in my life, then I can rest on that, knowing that God's word tells me, and that I don't have to have every little aspect of it totally and completely figured out. I almost want to say that I don't know if anyone does have all of that stuff totally and completely figured out. And so we think here about the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the prayer promise here is that we are careful, if we're, be careful for nothing, but everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, I've made this point before, and I want to kind of make it again. When it talks about keep, it says that the peace of God which passeth all understanding. So the reason I said what I said a moment ago is because there's aspects and elements about prayer that I don't understand. And I'm okay with not understanding them because the verse says that they passeth all understanding. So if you're going to try to like wrap your little human noodle around that and try to figure that out, you're going into something that the scriptures itself says that it's beyond your ability to know. It's about beyond your ability to comprehend. And so I just rest in the fact that when I pray, there's a spiritual element going on that is real, that is true, that God is for me in those things, not to necessarily manipulate all the circumstances of my life, not to take things that I don't like out and replace them with, you know, all the good things that I might want, but to just really deal with something related to my inner man. And it passeth all understanding. And then it says, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A lot of you know that I am a very big Lord of the Rings fan. Most of you know that I like and I teach world history. In medieval warfare, the reason they would build castles were not built for lavish places, for the palaces, for the king and queen to live, like you see like at Disney World or something. A castle was really a medieval military weapon, and it was designed in such a way to defend and protect an area, a particular geographic area, and a castle was built with concentric levels of protection, walls, inner walls, and so on and so forth. And then in the middle, in the heart, in the center of the castle, there was what was known as the keep. And that was considered to be the safest, most secure place. And if the castle was overrun, that's where they would fall back to. They would fall back to the keep, the place that is the most secure, the most concentric, the place that is going to be the where the people are going to be the safest. And when I read this verse, and I read about the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, that's what I think about. I think about in Christ, that I'm in Christ, I can't lose my salvation. I think about the fact that if God be for me, who can be against me? I think about the fact that my life is hid with Christ and God. I think about all those things, and there's that element there in prayer where he talks about shall keep your hearts and minds. So the issue is about the inner man when it comes to prayer, and the ability to have moderation, the ability to let your moderation be known unto all men. And one of the ways we do that is by having a vigorous, vibrant prayer life, where we are taking our care, taking our concerns, praying and turning those things over to our Heavenly Father, and letting the peace that passes understanding keep, guard, protect our hearts and minds. That's really, I think, what Paul's talking about here. Okay? And then he goes on in verse 8 and he says, finally, brethren, Paul's a typical preacher. He says finally in verse 8, and then he goes on for at least another, 15, 16 verses, right? He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That really is where our minds need to be. Our emotions are stupid. God gave us our emotions. He gave them to us for a reason. But God did not design your emotions to be out in front, pulling the train. Okay? That should be truth. That should be the Word of God. The Word of God and the truth should be what's out in front, pulling the train. And your emotions should be following what you're thinking about, right? So your emotions follow what you think about. And he says here, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So as we think about walking in moderation, as we think about letting our moderation be known unto all men, as we think about being believers who are, even in this current circumstance that we're in, not too high, not too low, but are being governed by moderation, a lot of that is going to be determined by what we think about. The renewing of the mind is going to be determined by what are we allowing our minds to dwell on, to think about, to influence our emotions. All of those are the things that are going to be our primary focus, right? And so Paul, in this passage, he's telling the brethren, he's telling the Philippians to think about the true, the just, the honest, the pure, the lovely, the good, the things that are of good report, and the virtuous, and the things that are praiseworthy, etc., right? And to think on that stuff. Now, in the natural working out of your life, are there going to be things, worldly things, earthly things that are going to need to be thought about? Of course, right? You need to take care of things and so on. And this isn't talking, I don't understand Paul will be talking about that you're just like on a cloud floating around and you're nothing but spiritual all the time, right? But what he is talking about is that battlefield that's in the mind, right? The casting down of imaginations and the bringing into captivity every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and the decisions and the choices that we make about what we're going to think about, and then how what we think about relates to how we feel and how we act and how we behave and all of that, right? And so in the middle of the situation that we're in, just some encouragement from God's word to, number one, let your moderation be known unto all men. Number two, when you feel the care, worry, anxiety, etc. coming on, that we have the promise to pray, that we have the promise that the peace of God that passeth understanding will keep, guard, and protect your heart and mind. And then finally, the idea of thinking, fixing our thinking on where it needs to be, on eternal things, on heavenly things, setting our affection on things above, and so forth. And then just to finish that off in verse 9, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So, I apologize for the technical error. I'm not quite sure exactly why that happened. I do notice that for some reason when I'm trying to go to YouTube and Facebook, it doesn't necessarily like that. So I apparently have an issue I have to try to figure out on that point. But I hope that this was encouraging to you. I would like your feedback, especially those of you that are part of Grace Life Bible Church. Was this something in the middle of the circumstances that we're in that you would like me to continue to do in the middle of the week? That kind of feedback would be good for me to know that as I'm trying to really think about what the saints need, what kinds of things they need to be hearing from me to try to encourage them in their lives as we're all kind of going through this thing together. So any feedback that you could give me on that, I would appreciate that. I'm going to sign off. Those of you that sent me your email and said that you wanted to be a part of the Zoom call, we'll try to get that up and running here within the next about 15 minutes, about 7:45. Appreciate your attention. Just pray quick. Lord, thanks for this time we could spend together in your word. We pray this would be an encouragement and just a brief time of edification. We pray that we would take seriously what your word says about moderation, about anxiety, about prayer, and about the importance of what we think on and how that impacts our emotions. We're grateful for all the saints. We're grateful for your word this evening. In Christ's name, amen.